I have a journal full. I mean, packed full of what God has done since last Tuesday night. And I'm just now connecting that it's since last Tuesday, which connects to me of what's going on in prayer. It's coming down in action, you know. That's really awesome. God likes that we started praying, I can tell you that. I'm going to go backwards because we had worship. I thought it was 2 hours. Did you say three, Glenn? Was it three, Glenn? How many hours did we worship yesterday?
About three?
I don't think I've ever worshipped straight 3 hours before. It was the most amazing experience. You just can't imagine 3 straight hours. And it's not easy because you start to wander and you have to pull yourself back in. And there were times people stood up and gave a testimony or prayed and then it went back into the worship. But something I noticed at that meeting on, I'm going backwards now, the night before, Friday night, we had people from Indiana, Illinois, California, all over Michigan. We had people from everywhere, different anointings, different kind of works, all kinds of people. Some people barely saved, some people that were apostles. And they were all together in one place with all their differences. And the worship started out, I didn't like it. It wasn't the way I like to worship. It was a different beat. So anyway, all these different people and different things going on, different anointings, some bad attitudes, some people that were totally not in the spirit, all of that is in the room. But the worship started, and we've been to places before where you try to worship like everybody else is worshiping. We went to a church down south, and I mean, they were jumping up and down so fast, excited in God, I would have given me a heart attack, and I'm trying to do it. I'm over there, jump, and I'm going, I don't find God in this at all. I couldn't do it. I've been to places where they're singing quiet hymns and not moving, and it's like, I need to do something here. This is, you know, let me raise my hands. But when you try to fit in where somebody else worships, you can't worship. You have to plug into God where you fit. See, there's a part of God. He created you just like Him in that part. And in that part is how you have to worship Him. Now, there is a little bit of dance and liveliness in me once in a while, but mostly I really connect when it gets slow, really slow. I mean, I can go down into slow, like slow motion, slower than molasses inside of honey. And they were out there just going, we praise you, God, we praise you, God, we praise you, God, we praise you, God. And I'm going, I praise you, God. So slow. And I could hear other people, I praise you, God. I praise you, God. It was like an orchestra. Everyone playing their own instrument. Each person had a different instrument to play. And it blended in perfect harmony. And I saw all those differences melt away. And there was total unity in diversity. Every instrument in tune, on key, harmonizing, and the presence of God came into that unity. It was so beautiful. So beautiful. But those who were trying to copycat someone else, they weren't getting there because they had to find their own note. If somebody asked me for a pillow this morning so they could just lay down, if that matches you, then lay down. If you want to run around the room shouting glory, do it. It will all blend together if it's true worship from inside of you. And what is true worship? It isn't asking God to do something. It isn't wanting something from Him. It is seeking to just be with Him. Just be with Him. Loving Him. Being loved by Him. That's worship. That worship went so long and it was so beautiful. And I'd like to share more, but I don't think I'm going to right now. I'm going to save all the rest of it and see how it comes out. One thing that happened during that worship, though, there were times that music was playing the same little simple tune. And inside of me, I began to have my own words to that tune. And others had different words that fit that tune. So your worship was to the same tune, but it was your own words. I think that as an experiment that might happen here today. There might be a time someone plays piano. There might be a time of dead silence. There might be a time of just chimes. But write your own words. Write your own words. And if they fit that tune, take the microphone and share it with us. Share them with us. If you don't want to sing them, speak them. Just speak them. But be willing, because when we openly, honestly, unafraidedly bring our worship before Him, He walked down the road stripped of His clothing, beaten, bloody, humiliated in front of everyone to pay for your sins. How hard is it to stand up and say a couple of words of "I love you, thank you, I adore you"? It's really not embarrassing, but the devil would make you think it would be, because he doesn't want the Lord to be praised. So please be free. A couple people have already approached me and said, "Can I say a word? Can I sing a song? Can I play an instrument?" Yes, but I can't tell you when, except for Tom, who is so afraid that he wants to do it every minute that he won't know when not to do it. So I told him I would ask God to let me help confirm when he should do it for him, lest he just do it from now until God returns and never quits. That's what he would like to do, I know. He'd like to play until his fingers fall off. Maybe you will today. Who knows? I mean, not your fingers fall off, but until you finally say, "Enough, I'm ready to quit." You might still be playing when I come back on Saturday. I don't even know how we're going to start. I don't even know how we're going to start. Whether we're going to start in silence, whether we're going to start with a CD, whether somebody has a song. Okay, you know how we're going to start, so you're first.
"Well, I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. And I'll be satisfied as long. And as I walk, let me walk closer to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. I'll be walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Just a closer walk with Thee, let it be, dear Lord, none but Thee. And when my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. And I'll be satisfied as long, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Just a closer walk with Thee. I'll be sad and I forgot it.
Granted, Jesus, let it be."
Amen.
No, hold on. I think we ought to stand up.
Yeah.
And join Him in this. And you don't have to dance or sing or shout. Walk. Let's just walk, saying, "I want to walk with You, Lord." Just walk around. One verse again of the walk. Just
a closer walk with Thee.
Granted, Jesus, let it be.
And I'll be walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Thank You, Jesus. Let us walk with You today in whatever You're doing here.
I'm next. I am going to worship with Misty Edwards. I would like it if you all would worship also.
Thank you.
Joy comes in the morning.
of Lowell, spring of Lowell within me.
Holy Spirit, rise up on the inside of me and fill me with desire for Jesus. All-consuming fire, living flame of love. Come and move within the hearts of men and women.
Burning blood.
Lovesick for Jesus. We are lovesick. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, Lord Jesus.
Come.
We are lovesick. Come, Lord Jesus. Come.
All right. Can we pray real quick here? Is that cool? I think we need some prayer, as we always do. God, we just thank you today, Lord, that we can be here freely, God. We give you all the praise and the honor, Lord. Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. God, we ask that you would bring that reality to us, God. Let that be our prayer, Lord. God, we just we want you here today and nothing else. So,
Come, Jesus.
Yeah, we just take total authority over any over any spirit that is not the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we just bind you in the name of Jesus. God, we just ask that you would be released here right now, Holy Spirit. We invite you, God. We thank you, Father. We want to enter in, God, with you. So we thank you. We praise you. God, you are worthy, Lord. We have nothing outside of you. So God, I ask you would come right now, God. You would quench our fear, God, our anger, Lord, anything that is not of you. And God, I ask that your presence would be here, God. You would just clean us out today. God, you would give us the faith to step into what you want to do, what you have for us, Lord. God, help us to yield to what you have, Lord. Yeah. To speak in love, God. God, we just, we just want you, God. See, in Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord says, call unto me and I will answer thee. So we have to do something, right? We have to call unto him. So if we're not calling unto him, is he going to answer us? The answer is no to that one. Call unto me, says the Lord, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So, God, we ask you to come right now. God, you would show us great and mighty things, God, things we can't even imagine, Lord. God, I ask that we could enter up in the Spirit with you, Lord. God, just open us up, Father. Open our eyes, God, to what you have and nothing else. God, we give you the floor. And the mic, God, so just come and have your way today.
Shania, what's that? Open my eyes. Is this on? Yeah. What is that? Open my eyes that I might see, that I should know what I should be. What is the next line? To what you see. My feelings. Open my eyes to what you see, that I might know what I should be. Get the best of me. Open my eyes that aren't you see. Open my ears to what you hear. I might make it very clear. I want to hear. Open my ears to what you hear.
Open my heart to what you know. So I can stretch, so I can grow.
I don't know. Make it.
Thank you,
Jesus. Through my heart, your love can show. Open my heart to what you feel.
This is some words written close to 2 weeks ago. I trust that the Lord will quicken anything that might apply. The title of this is Alone. I have a Tempur-Pedic bed, but what good is that if I am dead? I trust in you alone. You're shaking all that can be shook. It says so right here in your book. I trust in you alone. Some think they need to lavish toys on all their little girls and boys, but I believe eternal joys are found in you alone. You gave me all I need to see, and now the choice is up to me. I trust in you alone. It's tough to try to run a race when so much looks so out of place. So help me, Jesus, show your face. I trust in you alone. Oh Lord, I woke with all these fears. It's tough to listen, clean my ears. I know you've bottled all my tears. I trust in you alone. You said yours is an easy yoke. So why is life so hard? No joke. The question may be whom I trust. And since I came from only dust, the choice is simple, that I must trust in you alone. Nothing wrong with having stuff, but how to judge what is enough? I trust in you alone. I want you, and you want me, so why is it so hard to see, to trust in you alone? How about this? Turn off the tube, set aside the Rubik's Cube, inject some Holy Spirit lube, and listen for Him alone. You don't sleep, you're always here. Your thoughts are pure, you have no fear. I trust in you alone. So I don't get what holds me back. To rest in you, there is no lack. So why would I be reticent to go out bold and confident and trust in you alone? You care about my problems hard, both in the house and in the yard, the smallest spot, the largest space. You are present in every place. It is you I must embrace. I trust in you alone. You count and measure all my hair. Nothing's left up in the air. Your providence beyond compare, caring for me everywhere. I trust in you alone. This doesn't have a title, and I don't know if it goes to music, but I might be sitting down here at the keyboard in a minute. Jesus, I'm searching and waiting for you. Resting and trusting, I know you are true. Don't let me run past, go faster than you. Slow me and show me as only you do. Holy and righteous and worthy are you. You take the old and you make them brand new. You're worthy, worthy of praise. You are worthy, worthy of praise. Let me be near when you're making your plan. Let me be present when you move your hand. Let me be eager to follow your lead, to learn how to plant and to water your seed. When you give the increase, I want to help reap. Let me not hesitate when the water is deep. Restore my love for the truth of your word. Let me not stop until everyone's heard. You are worthy, worthy of praise. You are worthy, worthy of praise.
Yes, I'm going to let the children have a chance. Come on. Ellie, do you want to say?
Well, my mom calls me. So, my mom calls me sweetheart. And we get to pick Erica and we get him to go home with us. And all the things we do with us. all the things we do.
You love Jesus?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Carson?
This is a picture I drew about God creating the world.
Awesome. Thank you. Jackson, can I share your vision about the palace you went to the other day? Jackson was closing his eyes and asking God to speak to him. And he said that Jesus took him to a palace. And Sahara was in a cage in that palace. And Jesus said, there is no king in there. And then the real Jesus came and said, there is a king. And he saw the king. So he knew this was the real Jesus. And then he went straight into the cage and got his sister out. The point is, there are false Christs. Do we know how to recognize them? Truth is the key. And he is not even seven yet, but he knew the real Jesus because of truth. Any other children want to say anything? Okay, let's just rest back into worship here. Sharon, do you want to say something? You want to come?
First of all, I would like to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. And I'm just a little hurt and disappointed that the fathers are not receiving the recognition that they deserve. And also it says in Ephesians, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so I think there are some hurt people here who may need to forgive their fathers. But God gave them a job and an assignment, and they need to be honored for that.
I want to share something of a vision that I had as I was reading Revelation. Last week, well, I think it was Tuesday morning, I talked about God granting me a clear understanding of insecurity. It's not just insecurity, that's justifying it. But he granted me repentance of insecurity, because insecurity was keeping me from doing things he wanted me to do. So I repented of insecurity and kicked it out. And the Lord said, as you walk it out, you made a decision. Now you have to stand against insecurity and stop obeying it. And as you do, I'm going to reverse 10 years off your life. So that was good motivation. Besides pleasing the Lord. But then he told me the next day, because you are not insecure, insecurity was blinding you and lying to you and telling you you cannot understand the book of Revelation. It's too hard for you. Who do you think you are? Scholars have spent their life studying that book, and they don't get it. So why do you think you would? And sure enough, every time I read it, it's so confusing. But the Lord said that was a lie of insecurity. He said, go read it today. And I opened Revelation, and it said it was to his servant. That's me. It said it was to his church. That's us. And it was for today. That's now. Of course scholars couldn't get it 100 years ago. It wasn't for then, and it wasn't for them. But this was a letter to me, his servant, and us, his church. Why wouldn't I be able to understand my own letter? So I began to read it, and when I got to the part, I mean, I understood other things, but when I got to the part that Brother David Ben Judah Cecil is going to read, I want to tell you what he showed me. Go ahead.
I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the pass with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead.
I was okay until I got to his countenance. When I got to this countenance, shining like the sun, he looked at me, and I saw that countenance. Wow, it just shook me to the core to be looked at that way. There's 7 candlesticks. Jesus is standing in the midst of those 7 candlesticks. I wonder why 7? And why are they gold? Because we, the church, have to go through the furnace and be purified as gold before we can carry his fire. We have to let everything burn away. And he showed me that 7 because he surrounded himself with 7. It's a team. It's his team. He's doing 7 different things in the earth today. There are 7 movements of God that will cover the earth through his 7 churches. That's not physical buildings, but it's 7 different movements of God at the same time. To light your candle requires the fire in his eyes to look at you and light you with his fire. The Lord showed me on this trip that we're guilty of carrying matches. When you light a match, you got a little flame, got a little anointing, you got a little Jesus on you for a moment, and maybe you walk up to someone and say, he loves you, and the fire touches them, and then it burns your finger and you drop it, and it's gone, and you're back in the flesh. I asked him that maybe we could get to the point of a birthday candle. They burn longer than a match. You know, could we grow up to a birthday candle and hold the flame out there a little bit longer? And then I saw a person holding a birthday candle with a little flame. What I saw mostly was the person. But he wants us to carry a torch. He wants us to carry the presence of Jesus like a mighty fire. That when they look at you, all they see is the fire of Jesus. And it's so big that they can't see beyond it to find the humanity in you. And when those 7 candles begin to look, those churches, those people, you are the church. You have to look him in the eyes. You have to see him look back at you and light your fire. And let it grow and let him stoke it by looking at you until it grows. If the breath of humanity blows on your match, it's out. But when he blows on your match with his breath, he stokes that fire bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then all 7 churches are surrounding him. And his fire leaps from him into his churches and it covers the face of the earth. We don't want to be a match blown out. We want to be torchbearers. But it requires every single person wanting him, coming to him. Wanting him, not the feel good, not the what he can do for you, but him. Why? Why would you want him? He asked me that day, why do you want me? And I was like, why? Because I love you. He said, why? Harvey used to ask me, why do I love him? And I thought, that is the silliest question. I don't love you for what you do. I just love you because I love you. You can't help that. You just love somebody just because you do. You don't need a reason. I felt like Peter by the sea that day when God kept saying, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? And Peter began to search himself. Why? How do I know you do? It isn't what you'll do for him. That's you doing. It isn't what he does for you. It isn't how good you feel when you're in his presence. You come into his presence and you get all this warm, wonderful feeling. That's nice. But if you're coming to get the feeling, you're after what he does. If you're coming to get the blessings, you're after what he does. If you're coming to see the miracles, you're after what he does. Come for him. And I said, why do I love you? Why do I want you? He said, what do you want from me? And I began to ask myself, what do I want from him? And I couldn't find a good enough answer. And I asked him to tell me, why do I want you then? You tell me. I just know I do. God, the great big diamond, created me from one reflection of that diamond. Here I am, and here he is. He's the rest of me. Inside of you is craving. Every emptiness in you is craving and empty and hungry and wanting, and you don't even know what for or why. But when you come to know him, he fills a portion of you, and it's addictive. I need more. I need more. I'm still hungry. I'm still craving. I still need more. And he comes to fill this next place, but he finds it already full. There's already your plans, your desires, you, what you want, your sin, even your not sin, just everything you do, because you don't have time. Your time. And he has to begin to rid you of everything in there so he can fill another place. It's the craving for the rest of you, your completion. You will never be satisfied until you are totally one with him. Totally one with him. And then you will be ignited with the life of God, and you will find out who you really are, and you will live, not exist, in oneness with him. Seek him that way today. Crave him to fill everything in you. That's hungering. It's hungering for him. Do that as we worship. Don't hold back.
I just want to share something that God showed me when we were worshiping earlier. He showed me when we came to the part of the living waters, coming to the waters, that there was a field and there was a lot of people from every background, every career, and they were almost dressed in their what they would wear to work. And they're coming to this water, to the waters, and they get to the edge of the river, and it's all dried up. And then some of them were coming, and they were falling off a cliff. And then he showed me that the body of Christ was coming together in a circle, and they were getting closer and closer, and they were raising their hands and praying and worshiping to the point where our hands became a flame. I just needed to share that with you. And that we need to continue to prayer, to pray, to have more intense prayer.
Yes.
I thank you.
Hello. I used to have a prayer that I prayed a lot, that, and I would pray that, God, these are my weaknesses and my faults, and you are powerful enough to change them or to make them work for you and for me instead of against me. But I said, above all, do not let me harm anybody else by my weakness or my faults. And so if I have harmed or caused, you know, others any discomfort in their lives, then I apologize for that. And it's hard to determine sometimes what's of God and what's of Don when I charge out there and I don't do it in the right spirit, you know, or the right frame of mind, and then I have to backtrack. So if I have went forth and Don has caused anybody any discomfort or harm in their lives, in this building or wherever, you know, I've walked in my life, then I would ask him to forgive me for that.
You know, I want to share something with everybody too.
about 3 months ago, I think it was, who had a message, and she said, pick a biblical name and track it under my mind. T-R-A-C-L-I-T. And I wrote it down. And it just, at times, I'd think about it again. But me and Wayne, we did a Bible study one day, and we looked it up. And I knew what a Bible tract was, but there's no biblical thing for that. But we found Trachonitis, which means rough, stony ground. And that is biblical. It's probably Greek. And then I looked up tract in the regular dictionary, and it said a short dissertation, or like a tract of land that is not no particular, you know, like an acre or whatever, just any amount of land, a tract of land. So to me, God, my life is kind of an open door, open book type thing. I try not to hide things, and there's a lot of bad to see. There's a lot of good, but there's a lot of bad to see. So as you're looking in at this short dissertation of God, you're going to see a lot of bad stuff. I would not suggest, you know, when I pray for people, or when I pray for people, I pray that they avoid the mistakes that I make in my life, and that it be a lesson. And I would suggest looking in the window, but I wouldn't suggest coming in the door, you know. And God is leading me over some rough, stony ground most of my life. But there's a reason for it, and I accept it, you know, for whatever it is. And when I do make mistakes, it seems like God is pretty harsh with me a lot of times. I mean, I get to where it says in Matthew, I believe, that he will take you to court and you will pay the last farthing or whatever. That's the way I feel sometimes. I get spanked pretty hard with some things, but I accept it because that's my responsibility. It was my actions. I opened the door to many things, but it's very evident when I do. When I open the door, the devil, he rushes right in there, and he tries to take away what good, you know, God has done. And the better I get, the more he's at me. So I ought to have a T-shirt, work under progress or caution, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of good things that come along with that, though, and the lessons that I've learned that God is teaching me are taken to heart, you know. Church for, I used to, Harvey gave me a new prayer of take away what I think I know, and you tell me what you need me to know for today. And that other prayer that I used to pray about, you know, my weaknesses, I just don't want to offend or anybody else to fall. But if somehow, if somebody could avoid some of the pitfalls that I have in life, then God is doing his job, and maybe I'm doing mine. Maybe I need to suffer. Maybe that's my cross, you know, in some ways. But I know that this life of short dissertation is an in-between ground, you know, and that the next one, and maybe these trials and tribulations that we're supposed to accept with joy, and I'm building up my treasures, you know, elsewhere.
You in my body, and I am so thankful that you're breaking me down. And as I was crying and asking forgiveness from my brother, the Lord showed me that we're all crying inside, but we're holding on to it. And you have to let it go. You can't keep it in there. Because all it does is fester. And then the devil gets in there and tells you lies. So if you have something in you that you're crying about inside, you have to bring it to the foot of the cross. Give it to God. ask, we can't do it. And then the other day when it was raining, the Lord says, I am cleansing. And as I was hearing everybody talk this morning, and as I'm crying right now, the Lord is catching my tears. And He showed me that's what the rain is. It's His and our tears. And that's the cleansing. So don't hold it inside. Let it out. Whatever it is, don't hold it in. Because it'll just sit there and rot. And fester. And turn into sin. So I'm challenging everybody in here right now. What are you crying about inside? What's holding you back? Let it go. Give it to God. That's what this place is for. And it's not the building. It's you right here. It's every one of you. It's not singled out. It's not me. It's all of us together. We're a part of that multifaceted diamond that God is. And we might just be a glimmer, but that glimmer is part of the flash. So what are you holding on to? Are you holding on to anger? Disappointment? Unforgiveness? What is it? I just challenge you to ask yourself, do it now. Don't do it tomorrow. Do it before you walk out the door. Are you tired of holding that inside? Are you tired of not knowing what to do? Just ask God. He'll show you. He will show you. He will show you. If my people, who are created in my name, will humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face. Will seek my face. And then I will hear from heaven. And I will heal your land. We need to be open and honest. We need to get real. We need to stop playing the games that we've been playing. And I'm talking especially with me. Because I could do it my way. And that's not pretty. Because I've done it that way for 50 years. I existed. I literally was existing by a thread. And folks, we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to wonder, what am I gonna do? There's nothing I can do. That's right. That's the point. There's nothing that we can do. But get on our knees and pray. And if you don't believe me, try it. God doesn't turn down an invitation. He is right there. He is right here. Whether you know it or not, it's all as He wants is to say, Father, I need You. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't even know what to pray. But just talk to Him. Talk to Him like a father. That's all He wants. Is us to be open, honest, and willing. Willing to hear His words. And you know, people say, well, I don't know if that was God or not.
was it good or was it bad? If it was good, it wasn't the devil. And if it was bad, it wasn't God. We know right from wrong. Our parents, or maybe not all of our parents, but our parents showed us that. We got that in school, how to get along in first grade and not steal each other's crayons. The basics. And it's all about the basics. It's all about the basics. This isn't hard. This isn't rocket science. Thank you, Jesus, because I'd be on the bottom. It's about our heart. It's about what's in our heart. And we all are created in His image. We all are created in His image. Dear Lord, I just thank You for every breath that I take, because every day is a bonus to me, Lord. What You've brought me through, nobody else could have done that but You. I haven't arrived, but I'm on the path, and I will never turn back. I will never forsake You. I will stumble and fall, because I still have flesh. But we all do. We all are going to stumble and fall. We all are going to stumble and fall. We all have God inside of us. We need to release it. We need to release it. We need to release it. Dear Lord, I just praise You and give You the glory. Lord, I just want You to have Your way here today. Whatever that looks like, whatever it means, whatever it sounds like. But let the songs of each other come together as an orchestra. As the shofars did when we were at the meeting. When one blew, it was cool. But when 20 of them were blowing, it was an orchestra, and they all made different sounds, but they all came together as an orchestra. And that's what we're supposed to do right here, right now. No more waiting. We need to step out. We need to step up. We need to pray without ceasing. Because we, one person, I never thought I could make a difference. But now I know I can't make a difference. But God through me can make a difference. God through you. You. Everyone in this room. He can make a difference. The question is, will you let Him?
If the Lord had me put a badge on you, it was because He wanted you to pray for someone. So just let your eyes be looking around the room until you find out who the someone is and get a partner and freely do that. But remember to ask them if they want you to pray for them. We need their permission. And if you feel you have a song, Tom will give you space to move in.
I was just thinking the same thing. If someone has one, please let them. Don't be shy.
I would like to sing you a song that I wrote. I was over there fighting coming up here, but the Lord said there's somebody here that needs to hear it, so I'm going to sing it for you.
Take me down to the river to pray, where the Lord's gonna wash my sins away. And every tear I've cried, He wipes them from my eyes. He mends the brokenhearted and sets the captives free. So take me down where the healing water flows, where Jesus, He knows just what you need. He's given you the power to make it through the hour, 'cause you can't do this on your own. Lord, pour a fresh anointing all over me. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, for delivering me. So take me down to the river to pray, where the Lord is restoring me. He's gonna fill this empty vessel with His honor and praise. He's been patiently waiting, waiting for this day. And when you hear that still small voice whisper in your ear, have no fear or worry, your Savior is right here. He's at the river where the healing water flows, where Jesus, He knows just what you need. He's given me the power to make it through the hour, 'cause I can't do this on my own. Lord, pour a fresh anointing all over me. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, for delivering me, for delivering me.
Amen.
God's been teaching me a lot about trust recently, and definitely like a good thing to learn. And He gave me something like a word a while ago, and you know, asked me to hold it and, you know, hold on to it and claim it and stuff. And it's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, is to hold on to this, because there's no like earthly reason why I should. I mean, honestly. And could I steal the piano? Thanks. And it was just what the poem that Tom wrote. Tom, did you want to take your stuff? Don't want to leave us. The poem he read was totally about trust. And then what Glenn was saying about like stumbling and falling, that's what this song is pretty much about. So if any of you guys are like struggling with trusting Him, I hope this will be a blessing to you. It's called Psalm 37 too, so that whole chapter is really good.
Thank you.
They trust in him. I was reading that one day, and God showed me that that word because is a cause and effect word and signals a cause and effect relationship. The cause, we trust him. The effect, he delivers us. if that's what you choose, then sing this with me. We'll rest and wait on you. We will rest and wait on you. We'll rest and wait on you. We will rest and wait on you. We'll rest and wait on you. We will rest and wait on you. We'll rest and wait on you. We will rest and wait on you. We'll rest and wait on you. We will rest and wait on you. I'll rest and wait on you. I will rest and wait on you. I'll rest and wait on you. I will rest and wait on you. I'll rest and wait on you. I will rest and wait on you. Song. It's actually not done, but it's about trust too, and I only have like the first verse in the chorus, so it's going to be really short, but it's called You've Got This, and in it I address like what I'm, you know, struggling with and going through, and I know you all can't like directly apply because you're not all like 18-year-old girls fresh out of high school. I know like there are things that we all struggle with. Like, I talk about, you know, like, college fees, and a lot of you don't have to worry about that, but you have to worry about grocery bills and car payments and whatever, you know. So, I'm just going to, this is really short, but anyway.
Sharing about this is a time of purification and cleansing for us. There's some new faces in here, and so I don't know if they know who Pastor Harvey is, but he is technically the father of Burning Bush. He was, a lot of people consider Harvey and Sue spiritual moms, spiritual parents. And being that this is Father's Day, and I think also Harvey's birthday, yeah, tomorrow is Harvey's birthday,
Tuesday.
Harvey is going to be on his way to Jerusalem, to Israel. And I've been thinking about that. And when I first heard that he was going, I had this sense that something's happening. Something's going to be new and different. And I really have this firm foundation inside of my soul that Harvey will be changed in this 3 weeks. But I was meditating on that this morning and, you know, just thinking about his trip. He will be gone for 3 weeks. Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. And I believe this message is for us as the people who belong to Burning Bush, who are truly called to walk out God's purposes here. This is our preparation time. Because when Harvey comes back, he is bringing something to this church. And if we want it, we need to get rid of everything that keeps us from really experiencing God living through us. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I have no clue. But I have this sense of urgency deep inside of me, like I can't just keep still. Like I'm about ready to cry. Every time I think of it, I'm just like, oh, it's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Something's coming. Something's coming. And I just really, I wasn't sure that that was really something that God was revealing to me until I shared that with Sue. And she shared with me that God revealed the same thing to her. That something is coming, and if we want it, we need to be ready, and we need to die to ourselves completely, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. And I think the Lord wants me to break agreement with a spirit of rejection, because my entire life I believe I have had that spirit deep inside of me, because when I sense that people who really care about me or love me, whether it's my husband, my children, friends, and I see that they behave differently towards me at times, or they might be friends with someone else, the enemy really gets in there and he tries to make me feel as if those people are going to abandon me and they're going to reject me. And I don't, that's not the truth, because the truth is God loves me. And the enemy wants me to feel rejected and he wants me to feel abandoned, because if I feel that, then I will close up. I will not be friends with people. And there are people in this church who can testify that I have walled myself off from them before. And so right now, in the name of Jesus and in the presence of the congregation, I break agreement with the spirit of rejection and with the spirit of abandonment. And I just ask you, Jesus, that if there is anyone else in here that needs that as well, that they claim that for themselves. And I ask that your Holy Spirit fill us so that we know we are secure, to take away the insecurities, whatever seeds are deep inside. Open us up so that we can let your living water, your oil, your milk and honey go deep inside of us, to change us, to make us ready, to prepare us so that we are ready to take your revelation that you send to us through Harvey when he returns. In Jesus I pray. Amen.
Picture this, if you will, the Pontiac Silverdome many years ago. The Promise Keepers Band, 80,000 men and boys as backup singers. And this is what they sang.
glad you are here, Lord.